Bible never tells us that baptism takes away any sin nature. So if you have a child that has not been baptized yet after they've been born, don't worry. You're worried, well, what if he dies? He's going to go to hell or purgatory. No, no, no. Bible never teaches that.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe. Great to be with you today once again on our program called Straight Talk. We are heading into a season that we know as the Easter season. Some people call it the Lent season. Others refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. No matter what you call it, we're celebrating a huge event in history. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm challenging all those of you that hear me to take advantage of this time to reach out to neighbors and friends and family members that do not normally go to church or may not be walking with God or may be unchurched people so that they can be exposed to the message of Jesus. Last Easter at our church, New Life Community Church, we had thousands of people that visited that normally do not go to church because many people feel like they need to do something religious on Easter Sunday. So I want to encourage you to invite someone to your church. Make sure that you don't miss this opportunity. If you do not have a church and you're looking for a church, and I would invite you, we have a drama at our Midway campus at 51st and Keeler. If you don't have anywhere that you're attending yet, if you're looking for a place to invite a friend that doesn't go to church, we would be happy to reach out to them during this Easter time. God bless you. Let's pray for Chicagoland that many, many people will come to know the resurrected Jesus on Easter Sunday. God bless you. Let's get ready for today's program.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Today we continue on with our message entitled, Do I Have What It Takes?, which is from Pastor Mark's current series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. Let's jump right into the message. Our text will be found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's Pastor Mark.
Christianity is about the divine nature of God via His Holy Spirit at a moment in time in your life where you come to the end of yourself and are willing to acknowledge by faith that you cannot change yourself or alter yourself. And so you go through this strange ritual of opening up your life to the power of Almighty God, admitting that you've fallen far from where He wants you to be, admitting that your nature is one of sinfulness, and saying, God, I now open up my heart to You. Come inside of me. Cleanse me. Dwell inside of me. I receive Your gift and I receive Your nature. And now change me from the inside out. The Bible calls that being born again. Now, your birth gives you your nature. You see, whatever you were born dictates your nature. The reason that you have to be born again is that your first birth gave you your sinful nature. Your second birth gives you your divine nature. Your first birth tells you that you are a biological son or daughter of your parents. Your second birth tells you that you're a spiritual son or daughter of God Almighty, and you trace your origins back to God. And if God is your Father and you have been born again of Him, that means that you are participants of a divine nature, that the seed of God Himself lives and dwells inside of you via His Holy Spirit, and that now your nature is to behave like your Father, God, that is born in you, that is natural to you, that is who you are. Now you have two natures struggling inside because you were born again of the flesh and born again of the Spirit. Now you have the sinful nature and the spiritual nature inside of you, and they are constantly clashing inside of you until your body dies. Once you die, you will rid yourself of your fleshly nature and you will be all spiritual. Until you die, you will continue to struggle. But the moment you're born again, you are participants of that divine nature. Amen? So I want you to hear me well. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, we're all children of God. Well, we're not. We're all God's creation. But only those that have been born of the Spirit are children of God. We are all God's creation. But not everybody can claim to be child of God unless you're born of God. And so there's an important distinction made in Scripture about being a child of God or being a creation of God that's important for us to understand. So 2 Peter says, so you are participants of this divine nature, and the reason you are participants of this divine nature is so that you can escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Because you were born of this, when you were born biologically, you had the seed of sin inside of you. Now, how did you have the seed of sin inside of you? Well, because your ancestors were Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they passed down the sin nature to all of their children. I don't care if you're from Africa, Asia, Europe, Mexico, Spain, whatever, we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, and all of us have the seed nature of sin. That's why Jesus had to bypass his biological father, and Mary was inseminated from on high via the Holy Spirit so that his nature would not be a sinful nature and he would be born sinless. Now, you and I have a sinful nature inside of us. Now, the moment that you're born as a baby, you already have the propensity to sin because of your nature. You will, if left undisturbed, you will sin, period. You say, well, Pastor, I think we're all products of our environment, and it depends on the social economic status in which they're raised. No, we're going to sin, period. Period. So, I don't have to teach, I never had to teach my kids to sin. They just kind of knew how to, automatically. I didn't say to my daughter, I didn't say, okay, I'm going to teach you to lie and be selfish. Okay, here's how you do it. You know, here's how you lie. She seemed to know automatically how to do it. It just was like natural. Why? Sin nature. Now, notice, I want you to hear me well, because I think a lot of people ask about this. People say, well, then do all babies, what happens to a baby when they die? We have this sin nature, but it's our own sin that condemns us. And I believe if a child dies, if a child dies early on, dies at birth, I believe that they go to the presence of God, because it's our own sin that condemns us, not our sin nature that condemns us. Are you with me here? Okay. I believe Scripture teaches that. And some of you are really feel like you have to do some sort of baptism dedication to take away a sin nature. That's a whole nother talk. The Bible never tells us that baptism takes away any sin nature. So if you have a child that has not been baptized yet after they've been born, don't worry. You're worried, well, what if he dies? He's going to go to hell or purgatory. No. Bible never teaches that. It never teaches that. So don't worry about that. In fact, if you really know what Scripture teaches about it, the Scripture teaches that that child has to get old enough to know their faith and understand their faith and then choose to follow God on their own. Then as a consenting adolescent or adult, then they can choose baptism. And that's an act of their own will, of their own volition, their own choice that they make as an adolescent or adult person. That's another topic. Now, move on to the second thing that's taught here. So, he tells us that we become participants of the divine nature so we can escape the corruption of the world. Secondly, write this down. You're saying, okay, so I have all that I need to live for God. Right. You say, well, that's easy. No, wrong. You have all that you need. You have all the tools you need. But now, here's where the effort comes in. Notice what it tells us in verse 5. For this reason, because you're participants in the divine nature, for this reason, because you have all that you need, for this reason, make every effort. That's a word of diligence, of work, of perspiration. Make every effort to add to your faith. Okay, faith has to be the foundation of everything. The word add here is actually, a better translation is to supplement your faith. The word is actually, comes from the Greek word that was used, means to make rich or lavish provision. It was referred originally to a person who paid the expenses of a chorus in staging or a play. In other words, if there was a play going on, someone would say, I'll buy all the robes, I'll buy the lighting, I'll buy all that. That's what it meant. You supplement, you add to the basic thing. Here's the basic. Now, here are your options you need to add to this. So as a believer, the foundation of your life is faith. But listen to me well. It doesn't end there. And he gives us several characteristics that we need to add to our faith. Now I want you to hear me well. If you don't add these characteristics, it says even as a believer, you will be ineffective and unproductive. Some of you are going to heaven, but you're living your life ineffective and unproductive here on earth. You see, all you thought was that you needed to get saved. Well, that's a good start, but it doesn't end there. Well, yeah, I know it's a big start for someone to be born, but if you thought, okay, it's all over, they were born. And here you are 30 years later, still in a diaper, in a crib, going goo goo gaga. You're going to say, there's something wrong with this 30-year-old. And some of you in the spiritual world are just like that. You got saved and you say, you rattle your spiritual toy and say, I got saved. But you know what? There's very little fruit, very little growth, very little evidence that you've changed in your life because you haven't continued to work on your salvation or haven't continued to add to your life. And here's what the Word of God says. You have all that you need right now to live godly, but you have to work at molding your character. Have you ever played the game Jenga? You know what that is? Where you have little square wooden pieces and you have to build on them and build on them and the last person to knock it down loses. Well, this is spiritual Jenga. The foundation of your tower needs to be faith, but then there's several things you need to build on it if you're going to be productive and effective. I don't know about you, but I want to be productive and fruitful in my life. I want my life to count for God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Do I Have What It Takes? Which is from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1.
I don't want to be one of those, at least I'm saved. No, I want to be more than saved. I want to be saved and living for God. I want to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ that manifests the fruit of following Jesus in my life. I don't want to say, I made it in by the hair of my teeth. No, I want to be more than that. I want to live for God fully on this life, not just make it in, but I want to live out the glory of God and the essence of God in my life here on earth now, represent and reflect Jesus in my life. So it flows into my marriage and my family and my kids and my work, and everything that I do reflects the glory of God. And here's what it says. If you're stuck as a believer, here's what you need to do. And by the way, this is a pattern of growth. It starts with faith. Listen, it says, so for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. If you want to see how you're doing, here's how you should be growing. You have faith. Add to your faith goodness. Another word for goodness is virtue. It means my devotion to excellence, orientation towards an object of a high standard, of what is good and what is right, rather than a sliding scale of comparison with others. In other words, goodness means that I want to be like God and clean my slate. So add to your faith the desire to be like God, the desire to be like Jesus, okay? You have faith, you believe, now you want to change your life. You have a desire to be like Jesus. Now, add to your goodness knowledge. Now, I'm wondering why goodness is before knowledge, because I would think that knowledge would be before goodness, but no, you know why? I believe that knowledge is third on the list because I don't believe that you can really grow in knowledge if you're not committed to be like God, motivated to be like God. You see, if you have a lot of garbage in your life, it keeps you from knowing and seeing the truth. Are you tracking with me? If you have a lot of clutter in your life, a lot of moral clutter in your life, you put on your goggles and it's full of mud and you just can't see clearly. So have a desire to grow, and then you have knowledge. Knowledge is, it's my thirst to understand and receive and interpret what God is saying to me through the Holy Spirit. So I have faith, I've believed, and now I add the desire to be like God, and the desire to be like God, the character of Jesus, gives me a thirst and knowledge for the truth. I want to add knowledge, I want to understand what God says, I want to know how to live my life, but knowledge is not enough. How many of you have ever met people that know a lot of the word, but you say they're not like Jesus at all? They know the word, they know Bible, they know theology, they know church history, and they're much more like the devil than they are like God. You say, whoa, I do not at all want to be like him. You can be very smart in theological things and very far from Jesus. The Pharisees were. So never mistake your growth in knowledge for your growth in spirituality. Your head can grow and your heart can shrink. Ouch. Let me say that again. Your head can grow and your heart can shrink. So make sure that your heart and character is growing along with your head. So, he says, add to your knowledge self-control. What's self-control? My decision to control urges and desires the way that they should be rather than the way that my urges dictate that I would be. You see, if you want to grow in knowledge, you all have urges in life. We all have urges, right? Self-control is vital because self-control does not say no to your urges. Self-control redirects your urges. Are you tracking with me? You were created as a sexual being. You have sexual urges, sexual desires. If you're a married person, channel those not outside of your marriage, but channel those towards your marriage. If you're a single person, pray that God would give you the ability to contain yourself and seek to get married. Very simple. So it's Word of God talks about now, marry the right person, marry for the right reasons, learn to contain yourself. You'll do a lot better in marriage if you develop self-control before marriage as well. Next, he says, add to self-control steadfastness or patience. Why? Because self-control helps us control our urges, but it's steadfastness and patience that can keeps us on the right course for a long time. Steadfastness means I keep doing the right thing over and over, even when it's hard for me to do. How many of you know that you're not going to win just by doing the right thing once or twice? You got to continue to do it over and over and over and over again. Oh, let me speak that into your life right now. Some of you are in marriages where you have to keep forgiving, doing the right thing, keep doing it. Some of you are trying to turn your financial life around, so you're tithing, you're saving, trying to live by the 10-10-80, and you're still struggling. You know what? Keep sowing. Some of you in your Christian life are trying to overcome an addiction, an obsessive behavior from the past, and you're doing all the right things, but you're still struggling. And I want to say, persevere. Persevere. You say, well, Pastor, I still have the urges. That's all right. Don't let the urges dominate you. Keep doing what's right. Well, I don't feel like it. So? The Bible never says, now if you feel like it, please obey. No. Your faith dictates, overrides your feelings. And then add to this, it says godliness. Godliness is, means that when your entire life is surrounded by God, he's the center of your life. And to godliness add brotherly kindness. That means that you're not harsh, you're genuinely concerned in other people. And lastly, add love. Love means, love is that ties us all together. It's the motivation of our core that allows us to look at others and seek their good rather than ours. That's love. Now, if you want a chart for growth, if you want to see how you're growing, you need to put your life on this grid and say, God, how well am I growing in my spiritual life? And it says, if you don't have these things, listen. For if you possess these qualities, verse 8, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective, unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Let me close with this final principle. Write this down. Final principle. You must find the internal motivation to pursue your calling so you will not fail. Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is it? Therefore. Because it means that it's building on a previous thought. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you do what? If you know that you who you are in God and you have all these possessions, and if you start building on your faith, these characteristics, listen, you will never fall. If you do these things, you're not going to be like those Christians that keep falling and their life is one big roller coaster. They keep falling and they're more down than they are up. If you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's two motivations. Number one, to make our calling and assurance sure. Listen, if you're called of God, if you're a believer of God, but you're not living like it, doubt begins to enter your mind. There is no assurance for a believer that's not living in the Spirit or living outside of the will of God. You will start to doubt. Do I know God? Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I'm not walking. Maybe it was never. Maybe I'm not in the vine. You know why? There's no assurance for someone that's living outside. Assurance comes for those that live inside of the vine. The second thing, assurance, is that you're not just going to make it through into the presence of God. It says you will receive a rich welcome into His eternal kingdom. So for the first motivation is for this world. The second motivation is for out of this world. I want you to stand with me this morning. As the musicians make their way forward, we're going to close our service here. I want you to pay real close attention here because we're really pressed for time before our second service, and I want to make sure we don't miss this moment. I don't want anybody walking around unless you're a musician. I want you to look up here, pay close attention. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. If you're a believer today, a Christ follower, then your big thing needs to be, God, am I growing? Am I adding these characteristics to my life so that I can be productive and effective, so I can be like Jesus? Am I growing? Listen, and some of you have stopped growing, and you need to get on your knees and you need to say, God, I'm back in the growth plan. I'm back in the game of transformation and change. I will not be unproductive and ineffective in my life. I'm not going to look back at the end of my life and say, wow, I got saved, but what a waste of life. What a sad thing that would be. Say, yeah, I knew Jesus, but I pretty much wasted 30 years of my life because I refused to really live for Him. And when I stand before God, I stand, yeah, having been justified, but with a sense of shame upon my life that I wasted so much of what He gave me. I don't want to be in that crowd. And then there may be others of you here today that, you know what, you say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I have never had that experience of my life. I've never had a concrete moment where I have stopped, I have bowed my knee, and I have opened up my heart publicly with faith in my life saying, Jesus, come. Be the Lord of my life. I choose to accept you. Enter into me. Change me from the inside out. You say, I've never had that moment. If you've never had that moment, listen, I would be amiss. I would miss the point if I did not give you the opportunity. I had that moment when I was 15 years old in my life where I bowed beside my bed and I said, God, I've grown up. I know things, but now I'm choosing to follow you. And my life was radically altered and changed at the age of 15 because I gave my life over to Jesus Christ.
This has been the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Do I Have What It Takes? It's part of our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.